Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pokharna Limited's Q1 FY24 earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gavin Desa from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good day, everyone, and a warm welcome to Pokharna Limited's Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Gautam Chand Jain, the Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Paras Kumar Jain, Chief Executive Officer at Pokharna Engineered Stone, and Mr. Vishwanath Reddy, the CFO. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I now invite Mr. Paras Jain to open the proceedings and share perspectives on performance and outlook. Over to you, Paras.
Thank you, Gavin. Good day to all of you, and thank you for joining us for this call. I won't go over the numbers as they are already in your hands, but I'd like to provide some insights into the current landscape of the engineered stone industry. These insights will help contextualize our financial and operational performance. The global environment remains challenging, especially for residential remodeling, due to a slowdown in U.S. home sales and project delays. This challenge is compounded by heightened competition, particularly from manufacturers in India and Southeast Asia using Chinese technologies, impacting both demand and pricing. Also, our understanding indicates that channel excess inventories haven't fully depleted, suggesting that there might be more time before hitting the bottom. This insight encourages us to treat cautiously, maintaining a balance between our efforts and exercising patience and foresight. In this backdrop, as mentioned earlier, the present situation is so dynamic that offering near to mid-term forecasts would be premature. Amidst these challenges, our primary focus is on improving efficiency, exploring new markets, and expanding our distribution network. The quarter's robust growth and EBITDA margins reflect our efforts to enhance productivity and manage costs. Our goal, as previously mentioned, is to maintain EBITDA margins between 25% to 30%. To address certain rumors, I want to clarify that we haven't encountered any client loss. In fact, our customer base has expanded previously compared to the previous financial year. In terms of diversification, we are pleased with the advancements in markets such as Canada, France, Mexico, and Russia. We are also actively exploring opportunities in India. While these endeavors are still in their early stages, we hold optimism regarding their long-term potential. Our priority is to effectively address current challenges and position ourselves to seize opportunities as the environment and demand stabilizes. An example of this proactive stance is our focus on developing alternative product formulation, meeting the demand for low respirable crystalline silica products, which help mitigate the risk of silicosis. This approach ensures we are prepared to meet evolving needs as and when they are needed for the market. While the near to medium term remains uncertain, I have confidence in Pokharna's capabilities. Our design expertise, robust manufacturing infrastructure, strong customer base and relationships, and expansion in certain other markets reinforce my confidence in our ability to perform and continue creating value through our quartz business. With that said, we are now ready to address any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karthikeyan from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, very good morning. Very, very impressive results in terms of profitability. So just wanted to understand how much of that would have been driven by product mix, which you had spoken about elaborately last time around, and cost reduction. And you know, while you indicated 25% to 30% EBITDA margins, how much of that is general conservatism and how much of that is you know, in the nature of the business? So thank you.
Yeah, so largely what you see, the benefit of margin improvement is coming from the new design introductions. Maybe some part of it, but not a large part of it, from the cost initiatives which we have undertaken at the moment. And EBITDA, see, always we have maintained a range of 25-30 in the recent past. So while this is a conservative number, but considering the fact that the demand outlook is still to be stabilized, we would want to be a little more cautious rather than being over-optimistic.
Fair. If I may ask you one question, kindly share. So if Q4 volume was 100, what would have been the volume number in Q1, sir, on an indexed basis?
So volume is typically more or less within its range bound. So you don't see much coming because of the volumes out here in the Q1.
Correct. But I'm saying Q4 and Q1 were similar volume revenue numbers, but the profitability was substantially higher. And
yeah,
you said new design introduction.
Yes. I cannot give you the absolute number for certain reasons, but I can tell you that whatever is coming largely from the product mix, which is a high-priced designs.
Sure. Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. Thanks for answering and best wishes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal Kohli from Bowhead India. Please go ahead.
So thank you for this opportunity and congratulations on great improvement in your margins. So I had four questions. With your permission, may I ask them?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So, sir, firstly, you know, the U.S. housing market has, you know, revived in the last 3-4 months. So if you see, the sales are same as what they were about 4 years ago in the pre-COVID period in absolute terms. And now the trend has been there for about, you know, 3-4 months. With what lag would this impact your business? So I understand there would be a lag, you know, in your business. So whatever slowdown happened 12-18 months back, you know, would be impacting you now. But what is a typical lag? A broad range would be very helpful in giving the context of what could happen with a company, you know, over, you know, let's say next 12 to 24 months. My second question was regarding hospitality industry. We've read some reports about, you know, CapEx revival in hospitality industry in terms of renovations. So, you know, how much are we seeing any early signs of this, and are we geared up to benefit from it, and what could be the context of the benefits? You know, how historical those numbers were before the COVID period, you know. The third period was, you know, we have taken several new initiatives which you started mentioning from, you know, December quarter onwards in terms of new geographies, new product designs. But you also alluded that these are long sales cycles because of the distribution and the feedback, and, you know, the initial orders are small and then the orders ramp up. So, you know, what is the right time frame for you to say that, you know, whatever you've done so far, not the incremental efforts, you know, would fructify, if they have to fructify, you know, would that be a 6-month period? Would that be a 12-month period? You know, the last question was that, you know, your Q3 margins were highest ever in history in terms of gross margins. Your, you know, Q4 was the lowest. So was there any one-off in Q4, and can we say that we wouldn't see a Q4 kind of situation again, because the margins again rebounded very strongly, you know? Thank you.
Yeah, Sonal, thank you for the question. So typically, the U.S. housing, while the U.S. housing starts also have increased compared to what it was in the recent past, it typically takes 12 to 15 months for the demand actually to start picking up, because the countertop is one of the last elements to be installed in the house. So we typically feel that if this trend continues what we are seeing in the last quarter, also for next couple of quarters as well, then I think by end of this financial year, probably the lag time should be more or less be done, or maybe plus or minus one quarter is what I can say. Coming to hospitality industry, yes, definitely the inquiry funnel is increasing. And in good times, we had almost 10% volume of our business coming from this segment. Right now that's not yet at that level, but definitely things have improved than what this was in the last quarter. So if things go like this, I think definitely hospitality would be one of the segments where we can see a good demand picking up in the near future. And typically the new markets and the new product design take anywhere between 12 to 18 months depending upon which market you are, and like in Russia it can take a little more longer time because the shipping time, initial shipping time itself are typically quite longer than what it used to be for a place like France or a Mexico market. So depending upon what products we are offering and which market we are going, anything it takes 12 to 18 months for the relationships to stabilize, the products to start generating recurring demands and acceptance in the market, supply chain situations getting completely addressed. So that's typically 12 to 18 months period is what we have seen on our historical experience. Now coming to what you saw in Q3 was largely the case driven with the product mix, and which we believe that can be considered as a one-off event, and we don't think that type of situation would come very often in our business.
So you meant Q4, basically?
Yeah.
And sir, one counter to what you just said, sir, you said that it takes typically 12 to 18 months, but for the existing designs in the existing markets, such as US, would that also take 18 months, or there the period would be more like 9, 12 months, you know?
See, basically, again, there are two aspects to this, why I say 12 to 18, or it depends upon what channel the product is going. Suppose a channel, if the product is going to a home improvement center, like let us say our customer is offering to Home Depot, then the cycle is relatively lower because Home Depot has 1900 plus stores. And sometimes actually the cycle is more because you are the customer is supposed to get the samples done at 1900 stores before the demand starts generating out of that store. And vis-a-vis somebody who's just not carrying in the home improvement center, but maybe at his 30-40 locations what he has across US, there he typically has to just start unveiling the product and start going and replacing the product in his marketplace. So depending upon which channel the product is finally, because ultimately when we launch a product, we are not aware whether the customer of ours is taking the product to the home improvement market, home improvement centers, or is he going directly through distributors. So, but sometimes we know, and those products we think that if it is going through home improvement centers, typically take a little longer time compared to what is getting distributed directly.
So my last thing on the hospitality side itself, you know, what was your peak revenue share from hospitality, and considering, you know, relative muteness in the US housing and, you know, boom in hospitality, is there a possibility that in next, you know, couple of years, hospitality could be back to that peak level? You mentioned about 10% being pre-COVID, but my question was more about, you know, during the good years or the best year, what has been your hospitality contribution to your revenues? Thank you.
The hospitality business, if it is really peaking out and reaching the good level, and especially with a lot of hotels postponing the renovation in the past for several reasons and now going back to it, I think considering the capacity, product, and the pricing needed for the hospitality segment, all those factors, anything around 10 to 15% typically could be the revenue which can be factored it if all the metrics are properly met. And that typically, if I think it would take anything between a year or two for it to happen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritik Chopra from Buoyant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Ritik, can you tell me speak about... up a bit? You're not audible clearly.
No audible, right?
Yeah. May I request you use the handset if you're on your phone?
I'm on the handset. Yeah. Can you throw some light on the domestic demand?
Yeah. So basically, we have just started, like as I was telling you in our previous calls, we've started building up the market in the domestic by tapping into the kitchen and bath segment. Now we are realigning our strategy for India market because we see that the product demand and acceptance in the market also has grown substantially. So we are looking at building up new channels of distribution as well, both company owned and even through the different channel partners. So demand is definitely good, but of course it's going to take some time by the time the sales and marketing strategies are fully implemented.
So do we have any company owned store right now?
Right now, we do not have any company-owned stores at all. So, what, around 110 stores, you can see our product, and all those are our dealers, basically, those who deal in our product in different parts of the country, right from Kochi to Dehradun.
Okay. And, sir, can you tell the capacity utilization?
See, I think I have already, we've already stated that in our presentation as well, if I'm not wrong, that the capacity utilization has been muted and has stood lower, actually. I can't give you the number for certain reasons, but definitely the capacity utilization, we have good amount of capacity to utilize.
Okay, thank you. That's from my side.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Bora from Nuvama Asset. Please go ahead.
So, hi, sir. So, sir, just wanted to get a sense in terms of, you know, post the action taken by the U.S. authority against the competitors for, you know, the cartelization or whatever the allegations were, have we started seeing any sort of, you know, benefit out of it, or how does the U.S. market behaving post that action taken by the authorities?
I think the action is a little different from what you understood. So basically, there was an anti-dumping and a countervailing investigation which was launched against China first and then India and Turkey. So today, and of course, then subsequently, they had certain other transshipment-related issues against certain exporters out of Southeast Asia. So basically, quartz from India today is subject to anti-dumping duty, countervailing duty in the U.S. So I don't think it has benefited anyway in any of the exporters out of India.
No, but I thought that the percentage-wise was much higher for players from China. And therefore, you know, we could have benefited in terms of pricing.
Basically, by the time India subject got stabilized, COVID came in, and by the time COVID went out, the Chinese uprooted majority of their production lines and put this production line in Southeast Asia, like Vietnam, Cambodia, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia. So all that also got out there. So India typically did not get any price advantage. Of course, India got some volume advantage, which I think majority of the players, especially using the Chinese technology, did not take any advantage of and rather started selling at a very low prices.
Okay. Okay. And just lastly, you know, say over the next 3 years, where do you see the domestic revenue as a percentage of a total revenue? I know it's, you know, very small right now, but where do you see that over the next 3 to 5 years?
We think India would definitely be one of the top five markets we have going to be in terms of our volume in next 5 years.
Can you just quantify of the total volume, how much would that be?
There is a certain reason because of ongoing proceedings and all, I cannot give the number, but I can tell you that it's going to be one of the focused markets.
Okay. And lastly, where do you see our debt levels moving over next 2 to 3 years? So do you think that has peaked in terms of the capex and everything? And going forward, what is the plan to reduce that?
Basically, as a growing company, we keep evaluating different capex opportunities coming to us. So I don't think that the we are like looking at the operating cash flow, what we have and the current debt position, I think we are nicely positioned in terms of like term loans, about 263 crores, and promoters, loans from promoters, and the other unsecured loans are around 83 crores in Pokhara Engineered Stone. So I think, and our annual obligations are around 35 to 40 crores completely. So I think we are not risk averse to take more capex if need be, if it's really going to help our business. At the same time, we are not going to be overboard because we have to keep everything in mind that what the demand for the product is, how the capacity utilizations are. So that's it from our side on that side of it.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Three questions. Firstly, can you just...
can you please be a bit loud, please?
Can you just mention the debt number again?
Okay. That's the only question, or you have some more questions you want me to answer everything together?
So, other two questions were, firstly, on the we are developing the alternative product formulation. Respirable crystalline silica product. So, does this is it that the we have to make the raw material composition and it's more of a R&D thing, or does it require the change in the our facilities as well? If you can elaborate slightly more on that. And one more question was on the you mentioned that the newer market takes typically 12 to 18 months for the reordering, but all those markets which you have mentioned, Russia, Canada, there the first time delivery, have we done over last couple of quarters?
These are the four questions. Do you have any more?
Okay.
So if you look at I'm now giving the number both Pokharna Engineered Stone Limited and Pokharna Limited, right? So term loan at consolidated term loans around 267 crores, and working capital consolidated is 68 crores, and unsecured loans from promoter group are 98 crores. So this is our consolidated debt basically as of now, as of 30th June. That answers your first question. Now coming to your second question on the alternative product formulation which we spoke about. So basically, quartz engineered stone has crystalline silica which is found in the quartz what is used in the product. And in certain markets there is a concern about respirable crystalline silica being generated when there is a dry cutting of the engineered stone. So there is a certain regulatory scrutiny which is happening in certain markets. So as a strategy to make sure that we are also ready should the situation arise, we've spent a lot of our R&D time on developing alternative formulations, and we are ready with the product. Should the market start asking for it, we can quickly align ourselves. That's one part of it. So whatever technology what we are in R&D we have developed ensures that we typically do not have to invest anything on upgrading our facilities as of now for producing this new formulation product. And new markets, what I told about Mexico, France, Canada, Russia, yes, the first shipments have been delivered to the respective customers out there.
Okay, thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. It seems that we have lost the line for the current participant. Hence, we move to the next question. That is from the line of Devnash Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So I missed your initial remarks on the gross margins. So if you look at over long periods, our gross margins have structurally become lower. So some thoughts if you can share on what is the mix between the premium products and the basic products of quartz, and overall, where do you expect this mix to be over the next 2-3 years?
Currently, the new product mix on quarter basis is what we reported was higher compared to what traditionally it has been. So as of now, it is still not at the level which we want it to be. So if one really looks at the historical margins, one would look at that 30-35% were high margin products, around another 30-35% were medium projects products, and then 20% around lower, and then a mix of hospitality. So I think if all those metrics are considered, and of course the mix of 2 and 3CM as well, then typically the numbers can be anywhere between, considering especially the current scenario of demand and the raw material pricing and the pricing pressure, considering that you have low-cost technology products coming out from India and Southeast Asia, I think the healthy margins would be around 45% on the gross profits, on the gross margin side of it. So I think the 60% margin levels seems to be relatively difficult to attain, but I think 45% is the number what we feel is the right number to look at.
Okay, and to like build up on the premium portfolio further, because we have to utilize our capacity, who do you think we have to acquire market share from in US? Will it be the local producers of US, or which country we will be competing with?
Typically, when we produce a product, largely our competition comes from North America and Europe on the exotic high-end designs. But then the handcrafted products from Southeast Asia also have become some of the products where we compete with.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question, follow-up question from the line of Sonar Kohli from Bowhead India. Please go ahead.
Sir, two follow-up questions. Firstly, you referred to gross margins being 45%. I presume you're talking at the company level, including Granite, and you're not talking referring to the quad segment.
Yeah, I think I have to correct myself. I was referring to quads.
You're referring to quad segment.
Yeah.
You know, your lowest gross margins in history in any quarter has been 49%, and this quarter was about 61%. And you said Q4 is not replicable, you know. It won't be repeated. It was a one-off. And now you're saying the gross margins are 45% in quarters. So can you please throw some light, because it's not adding up.
Just a second, because I think what we've reported seems to be around 42%, so I don't know from where...
Gross margin at quarters level.
Yeah.
What do you include when you say gross margins? Because, you know, every company internally may be using different terms than what the market may be using. Help us understand, how do you define gross margins at the company level?
Yeah, let me just check with our finance team. So we've taken raw material and direct material costs and direct overheads.
Okay, so that's called contribution margin. So in stock market parlance, whenever any analyst refers to gross margin, what they're actually referring to is, you know, 100% minus raw material cost as a percentage of sales. So none of your direct costs, none of your other, you know, costs are included, only the raw material cost is included when people refer to, you know, gross margins, just to clarify.
Yes,
because the companies also, you know, interchangeably use contribution margin versus gross margin. So that's contribution margin.
Okay. Thank you for the input.
So basically, the current margin range should sustain, right? Or am I missing something? Whatever you reported, broadly speaking. Sometimes down?
I think except for last couple of quarters where there were a little ups and downs, I don't think that those type of scenarios would be reported. And I think that I had clarified before also on the call.
Okay. So current gross margin range should broadly sustain, you know,
a little bit
here and there.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. Is the pricing pressure from whatever little channel checks I've done is more on, as you said, on the entry side, the lower end side of the market, because Chinese products cater to that. And in your historical calls also, you referred that you don't compete with Chinese, strictly speaking. So, can you give the context of that competition? So is the competition at a broader level and for us lesser, or we are facing the equal amount of heat? And if so, why? Because, you know, we don't, strictly speaking, compete with Chinese, and that has been the standard of the company, you know, since ever.
See, basically, the technology also has evolved over a period of time. What Chinese were doing 5 years and to what today they are doing in different markets, whether it is Vietnam, Malaysia, Philippines, Cambodia, Thailand. is definitely evolved over a period of time, and they also produce products which compete with our product. So saying that we typically do not compete with Chinese anymore is probably understatement. Actually, we do compete with Chinese. But of course, the type of products what we are currently focusing are completely different from what the market is offering at the moment. So that's where we think that the temporary monopolies can be established for a time. So that's what our current strategy is, basically to make sure that we have temporary monopolies which can help us to sustain the position, improve the position, and then start working on something else which would be our next temporary monopoly.
So, sir, this competition is more at the 35% of the market which you referred to, broadly speaking, or is it for the 65% of the market,
we,
you know,
we
with Chinese, the larger competition?
We see the competition across. See, basically, there are good companies out there who are able to produce a product which is handcrafted and has certain other challenges, but then there is a market for those products as well. So we see competition at every price bracket, but then differentiation is what is driving all these changes, what we are seeing today in the marketplace on our revenue side of it.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's maintain the.
Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
So there are no more questions, Raman? I missed you.
Yes, sir. There are no further questions. Over to you for any closing remarks.
Thank you so much, and look forward to catching up with all the investors in the next conference call. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for coordinating this call. Thank you
very much. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Pokharna Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.